Christmas gifts. Why? Why do we give Christmas gifts at Christmas? Here's some interesting facts. In 2020, in the UK, gift spending fell by 9%. Spending on Christmas dinner fell by 5.3%. Spending on holiday travel fell, but people bought more decorations and spent more on decorating the Christmas tree to compensate for a miserable 2020. Of course, that was shut down. But this next little statistic, I hope you find it as funny as I did. Curbs also on the numbers that could be present on Christmas Day reduced spending and prompted extra demand for smaller fowl, that means chickens and turkeys, as a family joint. Farmers in Norfolk, for example, anticipated the demand for smaller turkeys, and wait for this, and met this by putting their turkeys on a diet. Not only are they going to get killed, they have to diet before they get killed. Normally, at least they could get fattened up and have a happy end, you know, sort of go out with a bang. But they had to be dieting turkeys before they were... I thought that was brilliant. Well, I thought it was very funny. I'm sorry you didn't find it so funny. Does anyone know what this is? Which ship is that? It's a Titanic. Three times. Do you know why I put three Titanics up? Do you know why? Because the tonnage of single dollar coins that are anticipated to be spent in 2021 in Australia is slightly more. If you weighed all the dollar coins that people are anticipated to spend on Christmas in Australia, you weighed that, it's heavier than three Titanics. $17.3 billion, one way or another, 153,241 tons. And a wee fun fact for you, the average spending in WA is actually $305 less than New South Wales. So obviously the Scottish heritage in WA is strong. I worked it out, I think I got this right. 1,730,000 kilometers would equal 730,050,847 coins, which would equal, if you laid each coin flat on the ground, you could lap Australia 461 a third times with dollars. Isn't that amazing? 17.3 billion. I think that's interesting. You're all looking at me saying, who is this man? If you stack them on top of each other, you could get to the moon and back 63 times with dollars. And what do people spend all this money on? Well, the average person spends $391 on presents, $352 on travel, $58 on charity, $57 on decorations, and $35 on hampers. And by age group, this is interesting, if you were born 1959 or prior, you're a bit stingy now, and you only send $709. If you are Generation X, that's me, you spend $963. If you're Generation Y, that's 1980 to 1994, $1,034. Generation Z, oh, look what's happening. Because Generation Z apparently are getting quite traumatized by the future, so they're all a bit worried about what to spend their money on, so they're not spending so much. It's the joy of Christmas, everyone. I just find it absolutely extraordinary that this Xmas consumerist festival coincides with Christmas. And I don't get me wrong, there's lots to be said for giving presents and all that, but isn't it just extraordinary that this is where we've got to? Why? Why? What's this all about? You can't just be passive and listen to me. You have to do a bit of thinking. Why have you given gifts this year? Have you had that horrible, sickening moment when you feel obliged to give a gift to someone because they gave you a gift? Have you had that happen to you? If so, I can pray for you to be set free from that in the future. Have you ever had that experience? Are you still living under that kind of feeling of obligation? Good. My daughter's nodding no. Yeah, I got free of that a long time ago, which might explain why I don't get very many presents. No, it's not true. Why have you given gifts this year? Just take a moment and ask yourself that question. Why have you given gifts this year? Why have you spent money and time and energy giving gifts this year? What's been your reasoning? Just to put you out of your misery, you may have some of these reasons. Tradition, because that's what we always do at Christmas. To bless those you love or care for, that's lovely, and that's true, hopefully. And we also show care through time if we've made our home, if it's been homemade or crafted or whatever. We've made time and effort. And often it's the mums that carry the weight of this, the decorations, the meals, and all the rest of it. In our family, Jack and I cook the Christmas dinner. But it's actually all about, it all kicks off with this. the greatest gift given with love is the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world. That's the claim of the Christian. And we really think it's worth celebrating and proclaiming. And the gift given is actually from God first. So we want to think about this gift. What did God give at Christmas? What did God give at Christmas? He gave his only son. You're a star. Listen to this. What did the Father give? Lachlan's right. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So the Father gave the Son, just like Lachlan said. 10 out of 10. Good job, we're not under performance, but that was really good. What did the Son give? Yep. What did he give at Christmas when he was born was he gave up his divine power as the second person of the Trinity. And in Philippians 2, Paul points that out. And that's why Jesus can say that we can follow him, because he was a man without sin, which is different from us, able to follow the Lord perfectly by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables Jesus to do what he did, and therefore he modeled the perfect life for us to follow. If he was doing that out of his own power as a divine second person of the Trinity, we couldn't copy that or follow that, because we're not part of the Godhead as he was. So he gave away his majesty and power and was clothed in humanity, and then operated later in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then later on, he gave his very self, his very life for us. What did the Holy Spirit give? Okay, I'll put you out of your misery. The Holy Spirit gave life. The Holy Spirit always gives life. The beginning of creation, it's the Holy Spirit that hovers over the world before things come into being. It's the Holy Spirit that goes ahead of the Word. It's the Holy Spirit that actually implants and enables the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb. And it's the same Holy Spirit who raises Jesus from the dead. Angels to shepherds. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." There was another time that Jesus was wrapped in cloths. If you were in a fire and a firefighter came and rescued you, how would you feel towards that firefighter? Like they're your hero. Yeah. Emily, what would you think? Awesome. That sounds good. Awesome. And I chose this image of a king because Jesus is also called the Lion of Judah. But here's the thing. The gratitude that we show someone who saves us is part of our gratitude towards the Lord Jesus for coming to rescue us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What was Isaiah thinking when he wrote that? He put that down. He wouldn't fully be able to comprehend what that meant. And yet he still got it down there 700 odd years before this happened. You see, Emmanuel means God is with us, and Jesus, some of my favorite Jesuses in Matthew's gospel, if you ever want to watch it, I think Jesus was like that. He laughed, and he thoroughly enjoyed people because people flocked to him. He wasn't some kind of dull person. People wanted to be with him, and he brought meaning and purpose to the revelation that God wants reconciliation with us, that he wants to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. The second time Jesus was wrapped in bandages was when he died. This is the first time I thought of that this week. It was suddenly struck me as I was preparing for this weekend. It's only two times he was wrapped, once when he was born and once when he died. That's actually wrong, the way that picture portrays it, because his body somehow made its way through the cloths without them being unwrapped. That's one of the reasons why the disciples immediately looked and believed. It was completely weird what had happened to the wrapping cloths. Second time, though, he was wrapped in bandages for us because he needed to make that salvation journey. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus to resurrection life is the same Holy Spirit that gives life to us when we trust in the Lord Jesus. It's the same Holy Spirit that actually makes the church alive. Church without the Holy Spirit's dead. It doesn't have any meaningful life. And we become new creations and new life. And these are all the gifts that God gives at Christmas, because it's all contained in that baby born in Bethlehem. For the wages of sin is death. That's what sin pays. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus said in John 10, "I've come that you may have life in all its fullness." This is Jonathan Rumi playing Jesus on the left, and the guy that he's hugging is playing Peter. He's a Jew, and Jonathan Rumi is a committed, wonderful Christian Catholic. And they're both in a series called The Chosen. And if you haven't watched The Chosen yet, I just want to encourage you to watch it. It's so good. It's such a good retelling of the gospel stories through the eyes of the apostles. The gift that God gives us at Christmas, hidden in his Son, is eternal life when it comes to fruition. And so I wanted to do this today. I wanted to say, you may already be Christians. If you're all Christians today, great. You can just thank God that you're Christians. But if you've never done what David and I didn't coordinate that, so I'm going to blame the Holy Spirit for that. That wasn't a coordinated thing. So David shared his story, and I'm sharing it with you today because it just might be that today's the day that you accept the gift that Jesus gives, which is his love for you. He takes away all things that hold you back from God and actually allows the Holy Spirit to be born in you afresh and new. So I've got a prayer here, and this prayer is taken from this booklet. This booklet costs $3, but to you it's free. If you're a Christian, please take one with you and give it to someone you're praying for. If you're already a Christian, if you're not a Christian, take one and have a look at it. Okay, this is Nicky Gumbel from Alpha. We run Alpha here every year. He just explains why Christmas, rather simply and beautifully. And in this booklet, there's a prayer, and I just want to finish today with this prayer. So let's just look at the prayer, and if it's for you, you can pray it quietly in your heart, and God will hear you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to ask his forgiveness for anything particular that's on your conscience. In other words, you won't know all the things that are falling short of God's plan, but the things that are in your mind that you think of, offer them to God now. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.